All right, welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy, as always.
How's everybody doing out there today?
So, welcome back after a week off. We kind of figured everybody would be worn out from Tied Down. Not that everybody that listens to us was at Tied Down, but...
It was a Memorial Day. We figured we'd take a break with putting out brand new shit.
Plus, it was like the first time... since the beginning of the year that we haven't had an interview lined up for that week. So, and I think it was probably because of the show around then.
I was planning on being there
up until like the week before, and then I already knew you were going to be there, so it was kind of easier for us to not have to worry about it.
Correct.
At the time, at least.
But it was great. A lot of great bands. It was nice running into everybody and getting good feedback on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was cool to hear.
Yeah,
and especially, like, somebody yelled out Noise Avocation to
you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I know who it was.
And who you think it was. I just can't say his name. I mean, okay. If you can, go ahead and shout him out.
I don't remember his name, but that dude knows who he is. So shout out to that dude. I'd have to pull up my phone and look at it, but... I mean, it was just cool that, like, people recognize it, and, like, I wasn't there, but I, like, just from your feedback or just people that I've seen commenting on stuff, like, it was cool.
Definitely.
It's nice to be recognized. But, yeah, this week we kind of had a fun episode, I guess, to us. Like, I don't know if everybody else is going to enjoy it, but if you don't, then you can just shut it off. That's your call. But... it's been a while since, like, we just did a back and forth between me and you, so I was kind of looking forward to that, because normally we're on, like, somebody else's time with an interview and whatnot, and I love that. Like, I'm happy that we have a steady stream of interviews and people wanting to be on the show, so
definitely. We just haven't talked a lot of shit in a while, so we're going to talk some shit today.
Yeah. We're always promoting, like, what we think is awesome, but... never really getting to talk about what we think sucks. Unless we're talking about Metallica, because we tend to do that a lot.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, or that. Which, speaking of Taylor Swift, when I was looking at lists that other people wrote for, like, albums that were a letdown, I did see one list that had the number one was her newest album. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't think anybody, like, had the balls to even say that first off. I was reading it and it just said, like, that she kind of has fallen into her own algorithm, like, where she has this formula basically and knows what her fans are going to eat up, and that, like, every song just kind of sounds the same. I listened to, I don't know, maybe 5-6 tracks off the record just for the sake of conversation, and yeah, I mean, they all sound the same to me. Like, lyrically, it's the same stuff, and I don't know. But I guess if it works for her, it works for her fans, that's cool. It is what it is, but lyrically, it is pretty cut and dry.
I just feel like it shows how more and more people are not listening. They're just kind of letting... like music.
I think
in the
people follow.
You know?
Yeah. Like, they don't read in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said this
before.
Like, people don't read in between the lines.
Exactly.
So maybe it's just a music thing for some people. Like, they just enjoy the melodies and whatever, and, like, simple shit that they can sing along to. And
but here's the argument to the Taylor Swift thing, as we find it simplistic.
Yeah.
Where.
But
like the
I will
Beatles
say,
were like the biggest thing on the planet.
But also super simple.
But super right.
What do you mean right?
Like, it was all like the chords and the how they wrote and the melodies. It was all correct. Like, it was all within theory. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
right.
It was still
like it's
smart.
Like Motown.
Right. So, to me, it shows like your fan base is becoming a little. Is not as smart, I guess, is the polite word.
you were about to say stupider.
Well, no, I was going to use the R word, but...
oh, yeah.
You know. And I'm not a stupider kind of person. I fucking have better speech than that, aside from the fucking every other word.
That's
but you know what I'm saying.
That's the Midwest
Yeah, the Midwest is fuck.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, I get what you're saying, like... but on the same, like, on the other side of that, like, I don't think all music has to be, like, overly complex.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all.
So, I don't know. I mean, if that's what you like, that's what you like. I've tried to, like, read into it because I see all these people saying, like, how incredible of a writer she is and all this, and incredible singer, and I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't see the voice. Like, take Freya Ridings and take Taylor Swift, and Freya Ridings is a way better player, writer, everything.
I mean, that's the mystery, isn't it? You know?
That is what it is, but...
I mean, I guess that's kind of in every, like, sport or anything competitive. It seems like there's always... And, I'm, you know, music is competitive sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But I will agree with you 100%. Maybe it's because Taylor Swift...
And I'm looking at this
simple, like, she's to me, she's not super attractive.
No, but I mean, like,
Freya, she's like pretty smoking hot.
Yeah, she's pretty and shit, but like, I mean, look at like Big Mama Thornton and shit. Like, that bitch was ugly.
Yeah, but nobody knew what she looked like.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't the time of like social medias and stuff. Dude. So, yeah.
I mean, like Millie Vanilli. Straight up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think it's a good thing, though, now that you mention that, because, like, Alabama Shakes, Brittany Howard, uh-huh. She's a fucking amazing writer and singer, and I'm glad, you know, and she is not, and she's a gay, lesbian, and from a man of heterosexual nature, I don't find her attractive in any way, shape, or form, aside from, you know, she's got a cool mind.
Right. And there are those people like that, like, you have to... There's those good minds that come in some weird-looking people. Like,
got that. So this episode is going to be about...
There's other people out there who have had this. Like, you've been expecting an album, and you're like, oh, this is going to be dope. It's their follow-up to the last one, and it was like the last record was... It was Illmatic, and then the follow-up... That was a bad example because the follow-up was still good.
Yeah, but...
You get what I mean? Like, you were expecting it to be awesome, and then it came out, and you were like, fuck, this sucks.
And that is actually a good example, because that's kind of a curse, is when you get like, your first album is just a fucking banger, sells 10 million copies, and then your next one's like a fucking banger, but it only sells like 8 million. You're like, oh, it's a dud.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I read a lot of people say that the follow-up to Illmatic was better than Illmatic.
Yeah?
Me, I don't think so. It is a great record, I agree.
I don't think so either.
But I just, it didn't have the same grittiness to it, really. No. Obviously, our lists, we both picked out 10, but obviously we're not going to put Metallica on there because 9 bad albums would have taken up the entire list almost, so we'll just... leave that as implied, unless you put Metallica on there, Jeremy.
I didn't.
I don't know.
Okay. But that being said, I was actually expecting more out of the last album based on them putting out Hardwire before. Like, I thought,
that's right. You liked Hardwire, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah. So, yeah, 72 is a turd.
Well, they had a huge hype behind it, but. It's Metallica, so the label's going to have a huge marketing budget behind it. So, I mean, whether or not it was going to be a turd, they would have had huge marketing. So the hype was always going to be there.
But it was disappointing.
But it was incredibly underwhelming. But I didn't have any expectation for it.
No, I guess I didn't.
Like, I wasn't going into it like, this is going to be awesome, because I didn't care. Like, that's not my thing.
I just thought it was going to be better than the two singles that they released, remember? That were, and then we're like, well, maybe there'll be like a couple of bangers on there. Nope.
The singles, I remember when they came out.
Those are awful.
It sounded like I was watching a NASCAR commercial.
Yeah, dude.
And then I was watching football one night with my kid, and then there was a NASCAR commercial with the song on there. And
oh,
I was like,
God.
Oh, yeah, totally. I nailed it. So I thought that was funny. But we kind of kept it like more things that we were around for, like, because it made it a little more challenging for me instead of just being like the follow-up to Boston's first album wasn't even close to as good as the second or the first record. So it would have been a lot easier to fill up blanks if I got to pick all the way back there, or like,
well, from a record Sabbath, collector's point, that's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, like, for us to where it was like, all right, when we started, Black Sabbath's a horrible example because we knew Black Sabbath from way back. But if you heard whatever you heard, let's say you heard the first album first and then listened to them, you know, that way.
In order.
Yeah. Then you might fall off before Technical Ecstasy. It depends on your how you feel, right? I'm kind of with you on that, though. Technical Ecstasy is the...
I love Dirty Women, like that song on there. That's the only saving grace to the record.
Yep.
Never Say Die. I can't stand a single song on it. I will say I own it for the sake of just completing it, but I try not to complete anymore because it just drives me nuts. So there was a time when that record was like $3. Now, if you try to buy it, it's like $25. I wouldn't pay that for it, but $3, sure.
No, I hear you.
Some other ones that weren't on the list just before we get into this that I put on there, Converge Blood Moon. I kind of knew that wasn't going to be good when I heard the single.
See, now, I had hope because they, I mean, every album they put out I loved.
Right.
And, you know, like a bad single, whatever. But no, man. Well,
when I
read
that it was
record.
A full collab between Converge and Chelsea Wolfe, then I was like, oh, this isn't going to be
what
it's supposed to be.
So we'll see.
The Cars Door to Door, that was like the last Benjamin Orr record, and it was just awful. I think it was like their first record to not go like multi-platinum or something. The Replacements Don't Tell a Soul, I don't like that record. I know other people like it. I think there was maybe like one good song on there that I enjoyed.
I don't even think it should be a Replacements record. It's like a fucking...
Yeah, it was like basically a Paul Westerberg solo album.
Like pre-solo is what I told... From what all we read. Remember our episode way, way back?
It was kind of like a test trial to launch his solo career, basically. But I didn't really care for that record.
Me neither. But I do... Again, have it in to as a complete thing. Which, if anybody out there wants to buy it, let me know.
Misfits, Devil's Reign. That was like the first Jerry-only record that wasn't that covers album. I didn't like that record, but I also didn't have high expectations for it, really.
I never even listened to it.
No?
No.
I want to say it was like... It was the one after Project 1950. And I like Project 1950. I thought it was a fun record. And then before that was, you know, Famous
Michael
Monsters
Graves.
And all that shit. So to go from Famous Monsters to basically Devil's Reign,
Pretty shitty.
Was a huge downfall.
Sorry, Jerry, you can't really sing that good.
No, but he did work for the 50s stuff because he has that kind of Elvis-y tone to him. But anyways, we'll get into our lists. Did you have any, like... honorable mention things that you wrote down?
Not really. I mean, you kind of said them.
I tried to keep it a little less just because I could have made a lot, but I didn't want to take up too much time with it, but there is a lot out there.
And I tried to keep them, they all are like, I remember them coming out, that kind of thing. Because like you said, if we went like all the way back, it could go on forever.
Most of mine are, I remember him coming out. There was a couple that I would have been a little young for, but they were more like a bad follow-up type of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's just it. It's a lot of it depends on maybe what you hear first.
Yeah.
But
I made a good mix, but what do you got?
So did I.
What do you got first?
So
I'm curious to hear yours.
Versus yours, yeah. I guess I don't have them in any particular order.
I just wrote them down.
Just going to go right from the top, 1 to 10. And my first turd is Bleeding Through's The Truth.
Turd. That's funny. I was going to put Bleeding Through's The Truth is third. So I was going to put the fourth record. I like The Truth.
You like The Truth? I don't.
The shifting point, though, in sound.
Right.
I see why you don't like it, but I was like... What was that, 2006? I would have been like 15.
Right, so it hit you at a good time.
So it hit me at a good time.
But, so they did, I'm trying to recall Dust to Ashes, Portrait of a Goddess, which I really fucking liked. Yeah. This is Love, This is Murderous, which at the when that came out, I really fucking liked it. I kind of think aged kind of crappy, but whatever.
And it then, did, but it's like...
And the truth was like...
When you listen to it, it's like in a charming way how it aged. Yeah. Like, I still really enjoy that record. But that was like... When I heard that when I was a kid, I was like, damn, this is fucking awesome.
Oh,
so like
for
that
sure.
helped me get into a lot of other shit.
Yeah, gateway, did you?
Yeah.
That's cool. So, yeah, and then the truth, it was not cool. I don't know. Like, that lead single had like a decent video, but...
It had really dope artwork, though.
Yeah.
Like, the photography,
artwork did look cool.
The photography that was in the booklet, because when you open the CD, I remember I got it, and it has that, like, jaw, like, taken off on the cover or whatever.
But it's like...
There's the rest of the photography in there, and it's, like, other body parts, like, taken out. It's really sweet looking.
But see, it's not the music, though. It's the artwork.
Like, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was... I was disappointed in that album to the point of, like...
You stopped listening to the band after that?
Kinda. Yeah. Well, no, I saw them live after, and I had a bad, I don't know if somebody had a cold or the fucking sound was shit, but I just didn't think they were that great.
Yeah. When I seen them on Amarth recently, the singer had a cold.
Yeah.
And he even was like, I have a cold, like, but he fucking powered through that. Like,
yeah.
Good dude. I was impressed, but every single like solo or part that he had a 30-second intermission, he was down. You could see him off to the side, like, pounding water.
Yeah,
and just... then, like, chasing it with Guinness. the first one that I had was The Swords High Country. That would have been their fifth record, like, right after Apocryphon. And those
I'm with
first,
you there for sure.
Their first four albums were
amazing.
Awesome. Loved them. They sounded like, I don't know, some, like, crazy stoner metal mixed with, like, a Black Sabbath tinge and, like, their own little flair on the modern-day rock band. But then High Country came out, and it sounded like just, like, Steve Miller clashed with Black Sabbath or something in a poor fucking way. I just did not care for it.
Me neither.
And then they did, like, the acoustic follow-up to it, I think was called Low Country. And I even gave that a chance because I was like, well, maybe.
Maybe.
And there was a couple songs that the acoustic versions sounded cool because of the guitar work on them.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I was like, this is still weak as hell. So that was a shame. And then their follow-up to that used Future wasn't really all that impressive either, but they kind of started using synthesizers and shit. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't,
yeah,
depending on the band.
That can be a huge mistake or, like you said, could come out really cool.
Yeah, they're done for now, as far as I know.
Warp Riders, was that their
that
third?
Was three. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that album fucking rip.
Yeah, Warp Riders is awesome because it has all that like spacey, futuristic lyrical content to it.
It's got a whole crazy story, but
and they even used some synth on there, and it really worked, but it fit the lore of the record,
right?
And then I guess it fit for Used Future, too. I just didn't really care for the record.
I didn't listen to Used Future, but...
Cool album cover, but didn't live up to the record. What else you got?
Number two for me is Slayer's Repentless, which I think a lot of people are disappointed in that album. Yeah, it's not a Slayer record.
It sounded like a Slayer record made for the radio.
Yeah, it's just weak. I don't know. I had, like... expectations for it, I guess, you know? Like,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be closer to...
What album was
South
before
of Heaven, maybe?
Repentless? World Painted Blood. Yeah, even that one wasn't...
Yeah, that wasn't very good either.
Yeah. Trying to think of the... God Hates Us All was really the last one that was, like, dope. And I know a lot of people don't like that record.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like that record.
I like it.
But
I think
yeah,
it's
there's
good.
A few tracks on there I really like. But I can see why they don't.
Christ Illusion had a couple good songs like Jihad and stuff on there. Was
I liked Christ Illusion, but
I'd have to go back and check it back
Repentless
out.
Repentless was just so fucking like it like Slayer without salt and pepper. It's like bland Slayer.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's boiled chicken.
Yeah, yeah, dude. There's no flavor to it.
Yeah, I remember listening to it when it came out. It was like 2016 or 15 or somewhere around there, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a while ago now, but. I remember we played it at the tattoo shop, and because me and Jeremy were listening to it, and I was like, this is fucking shit. Like, this
sucks. I remember just being like, wow, I wonder why I got this so cheap, you know? That's why.
Yeah, why is this in the discount bin?
Yeah, I got like a dope-ass, you know, vinyl copy for like $15. And now that's why.
Yep.
So, anyway.
My next Morbid Angels, Elude Divinum Insanis, I think is how you say the name. Okay. I think it's Latin or something. But that was that one record that they went all industrial on, and it just did not work for them. Like, Morbid Angel is one of my all-time favorite death metal bands, and they were, I mean, Domination was like the first death metal CD I really remember buying. And then I was excited for every album after that, and then this one came out, and I was just like, this is not... I had to, like, double-check, because I'm like, is this a different band something? Like, it sounded nothing like the band. I've never seen anybody else post it or talk about it or anything.
It's like a dirty secret.
Yeah, it's like... It's like their, what's that Bad Religion record that
I know.
Is it Into the Unknown?
Yeah.
Or something? Is that it?
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, people are just like, oh, this is not a Bad Religion record.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
But the one that followed, I think, was called Kingdom's Fall or Kingdom Come or something like that. Went back to the original lineup and everything. And
sick.
Fucking great record. So, and I went into that one with like, I hope this isn't the same thing. Like, they changed it,
please,
like, the whole
else.
Band. But the record was good, thankfully.
That's cool. My third one is one that we talked about yesterday, Method Man's Decal 2000.
Yeah.
I was in junior high when this came out, so I was just like, you know, it's 2000. I think it came out in, like, what, 98, 99?
I'm pretty sure it was 98, yeah.
So I was like, you know, I was like 7th grade, and... I was fucking pumped for it, man, because I loved fucking Wu-Tang. And Method Man's first album was fucking awesome.
Yeah, he was like the first solo, dude.
Yeah, like, it was,
and it was great.
He's the shit, you know? And he's smooth. He was, like, getting Mary J. Blige. Yep. You know, I'm 13. I'm very impressionable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and Method Man was, like, I mean, he is smooth as fuck.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then he put out that fucking turd. And I thought it was going to be cool, man, because I fucking love, like, the Terminator and all that, like, post-apocalyptic, like,
yeah.
We're
but
getting taken over by Terminators and
shit. The record
shit.
Was cool.
Same thing. The art and all that shit was cool.
But the
fucking
delivery just missed. Like, the beats were weird and not in a good way. And I even went back and I listened to this because I was going to put this on my list, too, and then we talked about it. I went back and listened to it just to see, because Method Man, he's my favorite rapper of all time. I love the dude. And so it's disappointing for me to have him on the list, but, like, I go back and listen to it. I'm like, this is just, I just can't do it. Like, it doesn't sound like him. His voice is a little off. But I know from just other interviews I've heard, like, he was heavy into a bunch of different drugs and shit at the time. So, like, shit was a little weird.
I fucking guessed,
and,
dude.
I think that was, like, the PCP album, if I remember right.
Oh, okay. I will say that track 6... Sweet Love with Capadonna, that's a fucking banger track. That is the one reason I would and still do own it on CD. So check that track out, Sweet Love. Other than that, it's like very fucking like, what the shit, Method Man.
Yeah.
But that's what Crystal Meth does to you, kids.
But then he followed up with the Method Man and Red Man Blackout
Which
record.
Which is
fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, top notch.
Tikal, the prequel, was great. Yeah, everything after that was pretty fucking good.
And the Blackout album came in that, like, smoky case. I got that one the day it came out, too, in the mall.
Oh, that's right. It had that, like, gray-colored, charcoal-looking case.
Yeah, it was cool. And the fucking CDs back then were, like, $22, $23.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I have an original vinyl copy of that record that I got quite a while ago for, like, stupid cheap.
Yeah, it's a great, great record.
My third would be Biggie's Life After Death. Simply for the fact that P. Diddy talks over the whole goddamn fucking record, and it just infuriates me because it has good songs on it, and there's a lot of stuff that I can tolerate and listen to, but then when you got this dude like, bad boy, over the whole thing, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
It's like you want a copy with... Puffy edited out. Like, I would fucking
pay
for
like,
that.
Give me the producer unedited.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good way to put it, dude.
I cannot stand that fucking album because of that. Like, it ruins the whole record for me.
And that kind of goes back to what you were saying. They put out a huge fucking record.
Yeah, it was massive because that was the follow-up to Ready to Die.
Yeah.
So they had, like, these huge expectations. And I'm sure at the time, like, Bad Boy was promoting the shit out of it. But P. Diddy was a selfish dick and had to put himself all over the thing. Look at other albums from the same time. Like, you didn't see Tupac's producers all over the same shit. Like, RZA wasn't fucking saying his name over every Wu-Tang track.
Just fucking ridiculous. And then, of course, you know, whether you believe or not, it's kind of odd how Diddy's record fucking went number one.
Yeah, I'm sure he had some weird fucking
connection
shit going on in there because he's a shady-ass dude. So.
Agreed. Since we keep talking hip-hop, I'm just... My next one's hip-hop, and I'm going to skip down. And Social Distortion's Hard Times and Nursery Rhymes. I do not care for that album. I think it sounds too polished. I think... Now, some people might think it that's like sex... Love and Rock and Roll, that's pretty polished. But there's the songs are there for me, I guess. I don't know, in the songwriting. In this album, nothing stood out to me that was like, oh, that's new, that's different. Because every other Social Distortion album up until that point is its like own thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was just looking to see if there was tracks that I liked on there, and not really.
I mean, it's kind of like they almost followed a formula, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big change from, like, Mommy's Little Monster sound.
And I understand.
But a lot of
the
records were after that. But, I mean, even, like, Prison Bound and Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell and, like, As You Went On to Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll, like, obviously Mike Ness is hugely inspired by, like, Bruce Springsteen and that sort of shit. I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan, really. So when he tried to make his whole band sound like a Bruce Springsteen band,
just
like,
kind of turned me off.
Yeah. The best part about Bruce Springsteen's Clarence Carter. I mean, he's the only like saving grace for me to the band, the sax player.
Yeah. Shout out to Clarence, even though we know you're in a better place. But yeah, that record, I think, aren't they either recording or I think they're getting ready to put out a newer record.
Supposed to be doing a new record. Because I know, like, Mike Ness has some form of cancer.
Yeah, I believe he's recovering from it now.
Yeah. Well, he was on tour. Like, him and Bad Religion played in Detroit, like, a month ago, I want to say now.
So that's good to hear. But, yeah, hopefully it's better than Hard Times. It's the only Social D album I never owned.
Well, for the price of whatever they cost out front, you could.
I know, right? I'll pass. What do you have?
My next is Opeth's Heritage. That was the record that they changed sounds from being like a death metal prog band to like only prog. And like Michael Akerfeldt, the singer, wanted to make it sound like an early Yes record. And I'm a big Yes fan. I like them a lot. But the whole album for me just felt like there was something about to happen, but it never happened. Like, there was, like, this huge, like, build-up musically to where you're like, oh, there's going to be a cool breakdown. Like, because they'll go on, like...
It out.
Yeah, like, I know you're not an Opeth person.
Right.
So, like, they'll go on big, like, two-minute, just, like, beautiful melodic breakdowns in some of their songs, and sometimes longer. So it felt like there was a build-up to that the whole time, so I kept waiting for it. It never happened. And so I don't own that record. I've tried many, many, many times to like it. And I know like he was leading the band into more of a strictly prog sound. And the album that followed, I loved. It was great. And like I think they worked out the kinks, but that first one they switched over. I know they had some lineup changes and it was just kind of, it didn't work right. It was weird. Some people liked it. The majority of fans hated it and stopped listening to the band after that. I will say they did get, they
That's
figured it out and they got
happens.
A little better, but.
You know, when you do something like to really.
It was
segregate
a risk for sure.
Your core, like death metal fans, you piss them off, they're gone, dude.
But they're one of those bands, like, after their first three records, there's a part of a core audience that dropped off there because they were like, We don't fuck with them anymore because they were making like Blackwater Park and Still Life and that stuff. And depending on what person you ask, some people will only love those first three records. Those are the only true Opeth records, quote unquote. I don't feel that way. I think everything up to Heritage and then after Heritage is great.
Would you say Sorceress it's kind of like AFI? AFI, same kind of thing? Because I get it to where there's people that are like...
Yeah, it would be kind of like AFI, know, because...
Early AFI, the hardcore stuff, that's the real AFI. And then, once they did fucking Sing the Sorrow, fuck that band. And then after...
And then when December Crash Underground Love, came out...
Every
like,
single one.
Yeah.
But I
It's pretty
I
much
like
the same thing because... And it would depend on your age, too.
Right.
Like, some people's first exposure to AFI probably was December Underground, because that was, like, they were big at that time.
Right.
Sing the Sorrow was huge, but December Underground, I think, was
bigger.
Yeah,
that blew them the fuck up.
But yeah, that Opeth record, it's just, I've tried it, and maybe I'll continue to try it down the road, but I don't foresee it happening.
There's all those few records that they start to grow on you, but after like 2-3 listens, you're not even getting a little like, feeling.
Yeah,
the
these
chances
are
pretty slim.
These are like years of spread apart too.
Yeah,
like
right?
I really give it time to simmer, and I'll like find other shit that I'm like, okay, I see where the influence there was.
Let's try it.
It doesn't work out. All right.
That sucks. My next one would be Dave House, like he's the lead singer of The Loved Ones, but his solo stuff, Bury Me in Philly, was just disappointing to me because the previous album, Devour, I fucking loved every track on it. I think it's great. It's a good reflection on like society and the shit that, the American dream and what you're told on the television and then what happens in reality, right? It's like depressing, talks about drug addiction, talks about recovery. Okay, well then I want to say there's like 4 years, 5 years between albums and he gets sober in that time and the record's happy sounding. It's just not for me. I don't know. It sucks to say that, but it's
true.
Don't
you just hate it when your favorite artists kick their drug
yeah,
habits
I mean,
and suck?
Shout out to Dave House, like, for, having a better life or whatever and keeping his shit straight, but
it does
Devour
suck
album
when that,
was so fucking good, dude.
It does suck when that happens, but, I mean, for the sake of the music, but, to each of those people recovering, like, good for you, like, happy that all you are in a better place. But, yeah, I mean, some of that shit really can affect your music, because if you write depressing, like, dark music... And then you go to where you're no longer in a depressing, dark place, and you're not going to feel the need to write that music because you're not, venting that shit out.
It's just like a fighter, and once you win the belt and you take the hunger away, where's the motivation?
Exactly.
Anyway.
You start to get a little lazy or comfortable.
Yeah. But he's a Dave House, extremely good musician. That's kind of a weird one for me personally to like if you look at, like, everything I like.
Yeah,
but,
I've never even listened to it. Like, I know The Loved Ones, but I never listened to any of his solo
check out
stuff.
Devour. It's pretty dark.
I just added it a minute ago. That's what I was doing.
Shout out to Cole Cummings. He's the one that told me about that guy a long time ago.
My next is Atheist's final album, Jupiter, which, if you're familiar with Atheist, Jeremy was putting a big thumbs down. But their first three records, phenomenal. They were
classics, dude.
They sounded vocally a lot like Death. He had that like high pitched like Chuck Schuldiner fucking scream. They were way ahead of their time though, like with the jazz complexity and breakdown styles. Like people didn't really resonate with that shit at the time, as far as I know. And I mean, this is early '90s, so I was a kid. So this is me foreshadowing what I've read and who I've talked to.
Definitely.
That were into the band. But I know people didn't like them. They didn't have a hot, like, huge mainstream success. And then Elements would have been the third album. And then they waited, like, it was like 15, 16 years to drop another record.
Jupiter came out?
Yeah, like, it was a while. Because Element was like mid-90s and Jupiter was like 2009 or 10. And
yeah, that thing is...
it's just not, I don't know, like, I don't know, like, what the lineup change was. I know there was some, who left, who joined, who changed as a producer, but everything worked against him for that record. It just was not good, which sucks, because they were a fucking awesome band. And I've read that they might get back together as an original lineup, but that was years and years and years ago. So
I know that their records are extremely hard to find. Especially that second one took me forever to get.
Yeah, Unquestionable Presence is my favorite one. That's the second one.
Yeah, that one's so good.
I think Element's the one that has the most jazz into it, though. Piece of Time was a like their toe in the water type to jazz. There was like some jazz drum breakdowns and fills. Those second and third records, they really brought on all that shit. So if you're unfamiliar, definitely check them out. One of the original Florida death metal bands.
I'm going to go back to hip-hop and go with the Beastie Boys, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
Part 2.
Well, that's just... there is no Part 1, I know. I don't think. But...
No, there's not. Well, actually, I think Part 1 was a tape.
Okay.
If I remember right. But yeah, it was never release. Like an official thing.
Yeah. So Beastie Boys are pretty huge. If you don't know anything about the Beastie Boys, just type them into Google. You'll find something. Man. But, dude, they put out all their records are bangers, man. And
pretty much up to a certain point.
And again, kind of when you came around is maybe when you got into them. But Check Your Head. Paul's Boutique, License to Ill. I mean, I think, I don't want to say it's overrated because it's really not overrated. It is that good. It's just overplayed.
Yeah, like it.
The Five Boroughs, that album's awesome.
I don't want to hear Fight for Your Right anymore.
Exactly.
Like, great song.
But Hot Sauce, but... just, there wasn't, there was that one long video with the song from it.
Yeah, was it? Make Some Noise.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the only, like, honestly, that's the only track on there that I was like, oh, this is cool. And
I remember.
Just sounded like half done Beastie Boys shit.
I remember that being all over MTV and stuff.
Yeah, that like 20 minute, half hour video.
Yeah.
Again, video's awesome. There's like all these actors in it, Danny McBride, but that doesn't make a record, you know?
Right.
So, and I believe that is the last Beastie Boys album.
It is.
So,
because members started dropping after that, or member, I guess.
Adam died.
Yeah.
So, yeah, aside from that, any Beastie Boys album, you cannot lose.
Yeah, Paul's Boutique has always been my favorite, just because it's the most funky.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love all the little bass samples and shit they got going on.
I love Check Your Head for all those little samples and shit, too.
Even their punk stuff was fun, like. I don't know, Rick Rubin made some fucking magic with those dudes.
Yeah, he did. And they always kept everybody's respect for the most part.
Yeah. My next would be, this is going to be an age gap here. So Trivium's third record, The Crusade, sounded like great value Metallica.
Ooh.
It was awful. I love the first two records. They were melodic. They were heavy. They were fun. Matt Hafey, the singer, was like... 15 or 16 when he was putting them out, so I was like, damn, that's crazy. Like, as I was like 15 or 16, I'm like, people can do that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
So like, they kind of blew my mind, like when I was younger, and you'd see them all over Headbangers Ball and like, sweet band, dude can fucking shred on guitar. I listened to The Crusade because I was like, oh, fucking next to the album before that would have been Ascendancy, which was huge. And then I was super pumped for The Crusade because at the time they weren't like just putting out singles like they do now.
Right.
Like I had to wait for the CD to come out. Went out, had my mom take me to go buy it. Sucked. Hated it. Fucking like one of the biggest disappointments I remember like bringing home. I was like, this is not the same band. They went like, took all of his like heavy gritty like screaming out of there. The guitar riffs really like dried up. It just didn't have the same sound, so I was like, and I never again liked the band since.
Did they? Do you know if they switched labels at that point, or
I know they were producers? On Roadrunner, and I'm no Crusade would have also been Roadrunner. So I don't know that they, I don't know about producers, maybe, but label, I'm pretty sure they stayed the same.
Well, that you mentioned that, there's a good thing to bring up is, like, you used to have to almost blind buy.
Yeah.
I mean, because the music is, how are you going to, no internet, fucking, how are you going to hear it? Even if you could download, you're not going to be able to download this shit because nobody has it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit different.
Like, you had to wait for somebody to buy it, upload it, and then, like, have it available for download. So yeah. It wasn't like day one you could be getting it, unless it leaked, which didn't happen as often back then.
Or it'd be like, yo, Ryan got it. Let's go listen to it at his house. Yeah. And then it sucks, and you're like, fucking thank God I didn't buy it, dude. You know, like, yeah. But...
And, like, at the time, Camelot, or I don't remember if it was Camelot or FYE at that time, but either whichever or. It was... They had those little headphone listening stations that you could scan. I didn't scan because the last album was so good that I was just like, it's going to be awesome.
For sure, for sure.
And it sucked. It was fucking horrible.
Brutal.
That was how I imagine people felt like when the Black Album came out.
Right? Probably, too. Okay. My next one is the Gaslight Anthem's Get Hurt.
Yeah, I didn't like that record either. That's the one with the heart on it, right?
Yeah, I think that's universally looked down upon. Again, like, I tried a couple. There's not even a track on it I even think's that great at all.
I didn't really care for their new album all that much either.
No.
I mean, huge that they did a song with Bruce Springsteen, though, but I just didn't care for the record.
No, I'm kind of stuck in their first, like, what it was, three records?
Yeah, Handwritten, three, four, whatever. 59 Sound, and... I can't think of the other ones off the top of my head, but yeah, those first few, those were all great.
Sink or Swim is the, that's the first one, I think.
Great songwriting, great song playing, like, I mean, they had catchy fucking songs.
Fuck yeah,
and
dude. Great writing, like, I mean, and then, I believe, though, I want to say, dude, he went through a divorce while this record was being made.
That makes sense, though, for the title and stuff.
Right, and then when he did his solo Brian Fallon shit, it was like...
But that could go either way. Like, your divorce could help you bring out some of your best music.
Or you make
it be, like, complete whiny bullshit that didn't work.
This did not work.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, it's pretty strange.
My next would have been Nas's Lost Tapes 2. Not Lost Tapes 1 was fucking awesome. Loved it. Nas is another one of my, you know, way up there favorites of all time.
For sure.
And this record was just underwhelming as hell. I didn't care for it. The songwriting was, like, boring and lazy. It just didn't feel as hip-hop-y. Like, it was a hip-hop record, obviously, but it just kind of felt too polished, too new, too just repetitive. Like, just wasn't good.
Yeah, it's predictable, man.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that, like, really made you think that you were like, oh, shit. Like,
I agree to that.
That's fucking cool.
I've only listened to that album, like, twice, and it kind of just sits on my shelf to be honest with you.
I like songs to kind of unfold. Like, you hear little rhymes and shit that you didn't hear. Like, I was listening to Saw Rock again the other day, the Sharecropper's Daughter album, that song with her and Black Thought. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head now, but there was something that Black Thought said that was, like, super, super clever.
That you just caught.
I think he said under attack, like, bulletin boards or something. And okay. I was like, holy shit. I was like under a thumbtack. Like,
yeah,
it's basic, but I was like, that's a cool, like, little analogy thing.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. That Nas record was underwhelming as fuck. And then, like, the one, he did a few with Kanye after that, and I didn't really care for those either.
I've got really no comment on that as far as Nas, like you said. All his shit's good, but then you just force people to put crap out and it turns out to be shit.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if this was he owed the label an album or what it was, but I mean, as far as I know, he kind of can do whatever he wants at this point, really, but...
I guess you don't really
It just
know.
Seems uninspired. Like,
yeah, for
it,
sure.
It wasn't there.
My next one is H2O's Skate. I don't know, man. I just didn't. And again, all their former albums I like. And some people might even say Go is you know, kind of where they might have lost some people because it's super polished. They got on a major label. Skate, I just don't. I can't relate to any of the songs, I guess, like I could. Their earlier stuff. It's a little more poppy sounding, a little more polished sounding. The Steve Caballero song's all right, I guess, but I don't know. I really like the old style of H2O with the melodic hardcore and the breakdowns.
I had to look something up because the album's Use Your Voice. Because I was like, I don't remember.
Oh, it's not Skate's the song. Skate's you're right. The song. You're right.
So I was like, I've never heard that record you're before.
Right. Use Your Voice. It's got his kid on the cover.
Yeah. My I was bad. Looking we'll edit. For the.
We'll have to fix that.
Oh, you're good.
But, well, it still sucked.
Motherfuckers make mistakes. It still sucked.
Yeah, but it did, you know, and I'm sorry. And I don't know. It's just.
I don't know that
age.
I've actually ever listened to
Nothing
it,
to Prove. It's fucking awesome.
Because like, I think the last one I listened to was Nothing to Prove.
Because they go, you know, self-titled, Thicker Than Water, Go, where, like I said, some people might have been like, eh.
I
love Go too, but. It's Nothing super to Prove polished. Was good. And then Nothing to Prove is a fucking, like, return to form.
Yeah, and Don't Forget Your Roots.
All the covers, it's like, they're covers.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't remember listening to that
either.
Nah,
it's just all covers. And they're all, like, 7 inches. Yeah, Use Your Voice. I just didn't, man, it didn't resonate with me. And they put it out on Bridge 9. I love Bridge 9. But just didn't do it for me, man. And there's a pretty big gap between those albums as well. Nothing to Prove and
yeah, it was a while for it would have been like 7 years, 8 years, somewhere around there. So that's a yeah, big that chunk of life to
exactly.
live there.
Exactly.
My next was King Gizzard and Lizard Wizards, The Silver Cord, which was supposed to be the follow up to the Petra Dragonic Apocalypse longest album name ever album. And it was, I guess it's the yang to the yin, like it's the contrast of.
Okay.
I loved that Petra Dragonic album. I thought it was fucking awesome. So I was thinking like, okay, the complete opposite, but to me it should still have some of that feel to it,
yeah.
At least a little bit to be able to call it like a counterpart to it. It was like a total synth album. And I know this band obviously changes styles every single record. I mean, they have an album in, like, every genre you can think of. So some are going to be good, some are not going to be. Some sounds are going to be weird. But to call it, like, the contrast to it, I just didn't see why, because it didn't relate to it in any way, shape, or form that I could see. So it was kind of disappointing to see that.
I've only listened to them here and there, like, briefly, so I can't really make an opinion on it.
Yeah, and that just came out like a year or two ago.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, like, that was one that I was trying to think of a more modern one, like that just recently was disappointing.
I have another hip hop one that's kind of
my last two are hip hop
early 2000s, and my last one is a new one I'll save. So, my next one is DMX's The Great Depression. That came out in 2001. So, like, Flesh of My Flesh, It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Or flip that around. Oh, dude, classics, right? And then there was X's fucking classic. Great Depression. It just, there's not even any, like, Who We Be, I guess, like, that signal that came out.
Yeah.
And the video, that was, even that song sucked, you know? At least in my opinion.
What year did it come out in?
2001.
Yeah, that was a weird year for hip-hop, though. Like, 2000 to 2003 was strange because that was, like, the shiny suit era.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, a lot of sounds were changing, so there were people that were, like, trying to adapt to that, to chart, and then there were people that were being the counterpart to that. And I don't know if DMX got, like, swooped up in there because DMX wasn't really one that was, like, going to try to appease the masses,
no,
so to speak.
No.
Maybe he was trying to because he obviously always had, like, a million and one court fines and child support to pay. So he's like,
well,
let's chart this motherfucker
yeah, yeah.
so we can.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember that record, too, and it was
and that's
definitely
just
underwhelming.
Like, it could have been forced.
Yeah.
And, he did write two fucking number one albums in the same year, which is, has anybody still done that?
I'm sure somebody's done it since then.
Two number one albums in the same year?
in the same year. I'd have to like Google that and check, but yeah, I'm sure somebody's done it.
It's pretty crazy. I want to look, but
yeah, it's
it was disappointing because that, like I said,
there was good shit that
makes sense
came out.
What you said, the fucking yeah, he's not gonna fit into that fucking. Yeah.
But there was stuff that came out that was good still at the time. Like 50 Cent dropped Get Rich or Die Trying around there. And that was massive at the time. And that didn't fall into the whole Shiny Suit era, but it still had like a club hit on there. And then the rest of it was more like kind of old school street stuff.
With a shine, I would say.
Yeah, there was a certain like shine to it for sure. But I mean, lyrically, if you read all that, like it's no different than like a Mobb Deep record,
right?
Like,
right.
The street shit that he's talking about.
He just did it in a fucking different way for
sure. He almost made my list for like the next album after that because I was like, because that album was huge. Like I was in sixth or seventh grade when that came out, and I got it. And I remember wanting a Gucci gun holster because I seen him on the cover with it. I was like,
it's gnarly.
That's so hard.
Fucking
and
Gucci.
So like 12-year-old me is like, where do I get a Gucci gun holster at? Like, I don't even have a gun.
Yeah, right.
And it was big, but next one was underwhelming as fuck. And another around that same time would have been, this was like 2005 or 6, so a little later, but 3-6 Mafia's Most Known Unknown, which was the album after The Unbreakables.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like after Ride and Spinners and all that shit
came
out.
Yeah, so
they had
up.
Got big on Ride and Spinners. And then, what was that? I Gotta Stay Fly song that was on Most Known Unknown. That made them like huge. And it was cool to see them get big because they had been doing shit for however many years, underground, independent, fully. So kudos to them for becoming Grammy Award-winning artists and shit. But it lost that whole edge that 3-6 Mafia had.
Yeah, and if you put that album up against any other albums up until that point, it's a soft-ass album.
Super soft, but it just didn't feel right. It wasn't the same. It was fucking... Again, underwhelming. I mean, that's the theme for this episode is underwhelming fucking albums, and it just didn't hit the mark for me. That was when I was like, because people that I know at the time, they were getting into 3-6 Mafia. Like, I had already been, you know, I had an uncle that lived with me that was a little older, so like Micah and stuff
was into that shit.
Yeah, you
already knew what was going
on,
yeah.
I was already into that stuff for like 5, 6, 7 years before that. So when I seen that, and then like girls at like teen dances and shit are like, oh, 3-6 Mafia. I'm
Yeah,
it just ruined it for me.
I agree. Bitches don't even know who Gangsta Boo is and shit.
Yeah, or like you say Crunchy Black and they're like, what? Who? Like, you talking about Burnt Biscuits? Like,
I don't know, man. I'm with you on that, dude. Listening to them way before that, which I'm glad that, they didn't sell out, though. You know what I mean? They got their awards and fucking...
And they
still
put
out
good stuff.
Yeah, still hanging out in Memphis and putting out good shit.
Yeah, and they've done it 100% independent this whole entire time. So, I mean, DJ Paul and Juicy J, like, they're smart.
Definitely.
They know exactly what they're doing, and they... I like that they set everybody else up, too, because, like, LeChat, Gangsta Boo, Crunchy Black, like they'd never got to like the superstar status that they got. Even Project Pat didn't get there. And they as like a collective still like built everybody else.
Yeah,
up.
It was
like they weren't
we all
like
rise together.
Well, we're the two stars of this, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
They all like built everybody else up and they still do. Like, but speaking of Gangsta Boo, like I see these fucking best female hip-hop artists ever lists and shit and videos I've seen lately. Like I seen one with Ghostface Killah. He was talking about like Sexy Red being like one of the I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, she is awful.
Yeah, dude.
Like, Cardi B and Nicki are better than her, and neither one of them are really all that great. Like, she is shit. Complete shit.
That's just how you fucking, you know,
and
people
like,
are backing people because
you don't
told
see
to.
Rhapsody on there. You don't see Ciroc on there. You don't see fucking, I mean, Gangsta Boo, like, yeah, she's passed away, and she didn't have a ton of modern stuff, but, like, still, like, come on.
She can spit.
Fuck, you put LaChat on there above most of the people that were on the list.
Like,
Gene
are they
Gray
talking,
would be another one.
Are they
like,
talking,
so
like,
many.
All together? Or are they talking recent?
They're talking new, or, current.
Current.
So, Sawrock would be current.
Yeah,
Rhapsody's
for sure.
Current. And but they got this list of, I mean, even Glorilla wasn't on the list. And like, yeah, she's another just like ho rapper, but like she has some pretty like dope rhymes and stuff and sounds like a female Project Pat, basically. And she's blowing up pretty big, too. And I was surprised not to see her on the list. But to see Sexy Red on there, I was like, she doesn't have a single good song at all.
It sounds
horrible.
Like she's just what would you call that? Like a marketing fucking plug, like.
I mean, she's just somebody who's hot right now because of social media. Like,
right.
I forget who it was.
15 seconds of fame or whatever.
Yeah, somebody, it might have been Mos Def, Common, one of those guys. I can't remember exactly. But somebody said, maybe it was Jadakiss, I don't know. It was in a podcast. I think it was My Expert Opinion.
My Expert Opinion, that's awesome.
That's the name of the podcast.
That's a good name.
And, it was saying that, like, a lot of hip-hop artists now aren't hip-hop artists. They're just social media influencers. So instead of, like, building up a repertoire as an artist, they just kind of blow up on social media. And that's their fame right there. I mean, they get paid from that shit. Like, look at that one, like, Catch Me Outside chick that was on Dr. Phil.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, dude.
She was a millionaire after that for, like, no reason.
That's crazy. And there's fucking people out there just starving, dude.
Yeah, and, like, everybody knows she's shit, but they support it anyways. Like, you lift that stuff up, you pay for it, you stream it. Like, you're putting money in her pocket, and she sucks. And obviously she don't give no fucks about fans or who the fuck you are. Like, she's just some, like, white girl trying to be black.
It's fucking crazy, the shit that entertains people, man, or that people pay for. It's fucking crazy, dude.
I mean, take, like, the older generation of artists, like Ice-T like Method Man. They had a solid body of work throughout a 10, 20-year rap career and then became highly successful actors.
Yeah, for sure.
To where, like, and yeah, they didn't just blow up out of nowhere. Like, they worked for that shit, like, constantly.
Definitely.
And are continuously improving. Like, if you listen to Method Man on interviews, like, he's in, like, acting classes and doing, like, set strategies and working with, like, people that know this shit in movies. Like, and it shows in, like, his roles. Like, dude's an amazing actor. He's great in everything he does. He's fucking awesome in Power, and he's one of the main characters in Ghost, in the second series, Ghost.
Yeah, I like him as a pimp in that show about New York City in the 70s and the porn, beginning of the porn industry. I can't remember the name of the
show. Yeah, I was trying to think of what it was. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
sure. He's good in everything he does.
So now people, y'all, you gotta do, and I know this, do something stupid, and hopefully somebody likes it, and then they like it, then they like it, and you're doing dumb shit, and you're a millionaire. It's insane.
And that is why I don't like TikTok, because it's 80% of people trying to do dumb shit to get noticed.
Yeah.
And honestly, all social media is that, like, and to some degree, like, we're trying to get noticed, but we're not trying to do shit to, like,
we're not doing dumb
sacrifice
shit.
Who we are or anything, right. Or being stupid for attention, like...
That's what I'm
saying.
We
think this shit out, like, when we're interviewing people, like, we don't just go in, like... What's up, dude? Like,
no, for sure.
I mean, we might say that, but like, there's thought that goes into this shit. So I don't know.
No, we work at this, and
it's
just—it's
annoying to see some people.
It's a little frustrating.
Do absolutely nothing, and then just blow up. Like, I mean, they say there's no such thing as an overnight success, and in most cases, that's true. But
it
just come on.
Times are changing, man. Yeah. You know, times are changing.
But anyway, what's your last one?
My last one is Knocked Loose. You won't go before you're supposed to.
Yeah, see, I had zero expectation for this because I don't like the band anyway.
Right.
So, but I did put that on my honorable mention list because, like you said this before, like, if you went to the earlier record and then listened to this one, it's way different.
Exactly.
It doesn't even sound like the same band.
And to me, that's where you, I mean, did they change their sound to get big, or did they change their sound and then get big? You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's hard to say, because they were, like, getting big prior to that.
Right, they were. They were playing growing, huge festivals. They were growing stuff. Good, for sure.
But then this came out, and it's streaming up there. It was, like, Taylor Swift and right. stuff.
Right. They sold out the Russell Center, like, quicker than fucking Tied Down.
Yeah.
And, but...
Which is crazy when you think about it, yeah. because there was how many bands on Tied Down? Like, over 30, probably?
No, not that many.
Well, if you include all the pre-shows...
Well, yeah, I guess with the 2 days before. But check this out. 4 years ago, they're playing at, like, Parts and Labor. And yeah. now they're playing, like... They're selling out that shit. Yeah.
Something bigger than a whole festival.
Right. Yeah. yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I was actually surprised Tied Down didn't sell out quicker.
Who knows? There's a lot going on down there.
That's true. And I think a lot of people were just like, well, I'm going to wait to spend the money, like, till it gets closer. But
and then I did that the year before and got screwed.
I ended up just selling my one-day thing on Ticketmaster, and it was gone in, like, a minute.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I got it, like, right when they announced the one-day passes or whatever, which was, like, maybe a month before. And okay. I know those were, like, they went pretty quick, too. But, yeah, I didn't care for that record. I tried. That was another one that I tried for the sake of conversation.
Like yeah, I really like Laugh Tracks and Different Shade of Blue. I mean, it was like they were taking hardcore in a different new direction. You had their own spin on it, I guess, right? And now it just sounds like new age Korn to me, I guess, if you will.
Kind of, but less cool bass playing.
Oh, yeah, there's no crazy weird whether, bass playing. But I don't know.
Whether just, people are Korn fans not or not, me. Like they definitely, they were huge at the time and had like a unique sound for them. And then like every other band kind of copied off it down the road, new metal sound. But
another band that's a lot of people heard and then got into other things from there.
Yeah.
But that album, I didn't have huge expectations for it, but they were based on A Different Shade of Blue. It was not going to be that, dude. That
it sounded a lot more industrial.
Yeah. Like, no, I guess it did. It's more...
The guitar tone and the stuff that was, like, in there was a lot more...
on point. Like, yeah. The timing was almost too perfect. Yeah, I know what you're saying. The hammers are just, like so right on.
Yeah, that and it just had a certain tone to it that sounded very, like, banging on metal type of thing. Like, right, I can't remember the name of the song, but there was a song that has, like, a... just an early breakdown that starts off that just sounds like metal being
and
hit.
See, that's another thing is like they're all kind of doing the same formula of who like they do this super slow beat down breakdown,
yeah,
and then put some little fucking screamy it's in there, and
that's
then,
the song I'm talking about.
Okay, right, there you go.
I just can't remember what the name of it was.
I can't either, but I'm...
Just for the sake of conversation, I did listen to the whole thing. Yeah. Like, if I say I don't like something, like, best believe I've tried it. Like,
I try
not to just be, like, that guy that's like, nope, this sucks, without giving it a chance, because there's a lot of people that do that.
There's, like, I want to say most people do that,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, because they let, like, other people's opinions influence theirs, like...
Most definitely.
And if I went by that, like, there'd be things that I love that people hate,
yeah,
and vice versa. Oh, like, it'd be the same way. But, I mean, don't let me influence you what to listen to. Like, if I tell you something's cool and you're interested in checking it out, check it out. If I tell you it sucks and you like it, cool.
Yep.
My last one was Black Star's No Fear of Time. And a lot of people didn't even know that there was a follow-up record to the Black Star album, Mos Def and To Live Quali. So that record, when it came out, huge, loved it, great, fucking phenomenal hip-hop record.
The original, the first one? Oh, yeah, dude.
It embodied everything that was hip-hop at the time, like great beats, great rhyme saying, like the poetry in motion there was like phenomenal. So I was stoked when they announced Black Star 2, because I was like, damn, this is going to be crazy. Hated it.
Damn.
It just was not good. And another thing that's wrong with that record is... it's almost, you can't find it. Like, there's one video on YouTube that shows the whole album. You can't stream it. You can't by it. You can't.
Oh, like they're possibly that embarrassed by it?
I don't know if it's so much that they're embarrassed, but like if you take like the People's Party, Talib Kweli's podcast,
yeah,
you can't listen to it without paying for a certain network. Ooh. And I think that they put the album on that network to where you have to be a subscriber of that. I don't remember what the name of it is.
But whatever streaming
But whatever service. It was, you have to like be a part of that to be able to listen to it. And so that was another thing that I was like, well, this is kind of stupid. Like, I get wanting to make it your own, take it for your own. And, like, Kanye came out with that fucking streaming device that seemed to be popular for a day and then nobody ever talked about again. I mean, that's a hard thing to do when you're taking... No single-handed person is going to take out Spotify or Apple Music. There's just too much convenience there. There's too much of a library there. So if you're trying to make your own streaming network... And in podcasting, that's one thing. Like, if you were part of distribution network,
distro, yeah,
that's fine. But for the music, it makes it hard because you're excluding a lot of your core fan base that's not going to bother taking those extra steps.
Are they
going to
pay $5-6 a month for another app that only plays a few albums?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. I mean, people have enough subscriptions as it is. So this record was just, I didn't want it to be... And I'm not saying it's shit. Like, there's lyrically, like, there's a lot of good writing there.
It's not going to live up to Black Star.
It didn't work. And it won't live up to it.
It
kind
of makes me think of another topic we could do down the road. And I know there is a lot of bands, artists, where it's like only like one album.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, in your opinion, or maybe like they only put out two albums, they only put out one album. You know, there's a lot of those, man, when you think about it.
Well, there's a ton of one-album bands out there.
That are just like, why wouldn't they make another one?
That were great.
Right.
Or there's a lot that sucked, too.
Yes,
it goes both ways.
We got topics.
But yeah, that was your last one, wasn't it? That was my last one?
Yep.
That was it. So, I mean, people listening, like, obviously, comment on our Instagram. Check it out, like, after the episode. If there's an album that you disagree with or that you wanted to add, comment on it. Let us know, because I'm curious what other people's stuff is, too. Like,
yeah, dude, message us.
What's
at
an album
fucking
that you
podcast,
were like,
whatever.
This sucked.
Yeah,
like, I want to know that. Definitely, since I didn't get to say this at the beginning of the episode, I kind of got sidetracked and forgot. As always, check out Blast Beats Vinyl. The link to the website is in our episode description. Use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first order.
They got a badass Sworn Enemy pressing right now, just so y'all know.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
I didn't
see
that.
It's fucking sick, dude.
I've been trying not to go on the website.
It's horrible.
Every time I go on there, I buy something.
Yeah, don't.
So I'm like, man, I got other shit I got to take care of. Another thing, we're going to be doing some t-shirts and shit here soon, so definitely stay tuned for that. We'll have that all over our Instagram. We'll have them for sale locally in the record store, and we will be able to ship to you. If it's international, obviously we'll have to charge you a little more on shipping, but we'll ship anywhere. So I know we have a lot of people that listen in Belgium. So if there's people out there listening that are interested, fucking hit us up. We'll definitely take care of you.
Yes, sir.
But Jeremy, unless you have anything else, I mean, I'm all good and done here.
No, yeah, we're good, man. Just fucking follow the podcast. Thanks for everybody listening. Like Ryan said, we got that t-shirts coming out soon. So look forward to that and peace out.
And also, we have a handful of people that we're going to be live streaming with. So check out our Instagram and follow us if you're not. That's in the episode description. We're going to be doing some live streams with different people talking about upcoming events or upcoming music videos and albums and things like that. So stay tuned for that, too. And, yeah, thanks for listening.